warrior's mindset is about conditioning the mind, body, and spirit. It takes practice, commitment, vision, goal setting, determination, sharp focus, respect, and discipline. Once you learn it, you can apply it to all aspects of your life. The warrior's mindset prepares you for the largest competition ever, the competition against self.
All right, everybody, welcome to Willie the Bam Johnson's Warrior's Mindset. We know what Warrior Mindset is by now with all these shows. It's really about digging down inside yourself and flipping the script regardless of what's going on, especially during COVID. We know we all have challenges, but we got to use our mind, body, and spirit to make the best of our opportunities today and not allow anything, nothing during COVID, nothing in this world to stop us from reaching our full potential. So we done had a lot of guests from Billy Blanks, you name it, just coming on the show, just talking about the warrior's mindset, you know. So what we want to do, we like all of our guests to introduce themselves to a whole new fan base. Mr. Mariano, can you give us a little brief introduction, sir?
Yes, sure, for sure, brother. Billy, my name is Mariano Big Dog. I was born out of L.A., California General Hospital. And pretty much I grew up in foster homes and boys' homes since the age of 9. So I had a very, very horrible childhood. I became a U.S. Navy veteran, Army veteran. That's why I have the flag behind me. I served my country in 2 branches, and then one during Desert Storm. And then during high school, I was became an athlete. I was a track and field athlete. I was really good, got a little scholarship, got into martial arts right after high school. I became a world champion MMA fighter, first Mexican fighter, heavyweight to fight in Brazil for the guys that created the UFC, Federico and Art. And I've been acting for 18 years. They call me the Mexican Debo, the Mexican Van Damme. So I've been blessed with so many things. And the most important thing out of all this is that I put the Lord first. And that's what matters to me. All this fame and all these accomplishments mean nothing without his blessing.
Okay. So, I mean, when we hear about your journey to become the man that you are today, how would you describe the warrior's mindset? How did you allow the warrior's mindset to help you through this journey that you've been on in your life?
Well, I tell you, it's... It wasn't easy. I didn't understand, you know, being angry most of my life. Okay. You know, as a child, when you're 8 and 9 years old, you have to learn to quickly to become a man. And in this country, it's usually you hear that in other countries where, you know, you got to become a man at 8 or 9 years old. But I had to be that person. And it's only through the grace of God and my friend Fernando, who pretty much led me to the Lord. And that's how I found peace and grace. If it wasn't for him, I would have been a big mess. I would have been in prison. I would have been in jail. I would have been doing a lot of crazy stuff. And I would say the gym saved my life in a sense. Going to the gym, wanting to compete. I love sports, and I became a world champion in weightlifting. I was the first Latino heavyweight to become a world champion, a heavyweight fighter for the World Volatudo in Brazil, Jamaica, Mexico, United States. So it was not hard, but I had the mindset. You know, when you grow up in the ghetto and you don't have a father figure, you learn how to find a good example. And thank God I had my foster dad, who was a great example as my father, and then my father God.
So when we look at children, because, you know, we are more alike than different, because I had similar situations growing up as a child, being molested, and, you know, just things that as a child at a young age, you don't know who to tell. And you just got to lock it in and you carry it around until you become an adult. I mean, right now, I mean, and I like to be raw about this show. Sometimes people don't even pay attention that some kid is being abused or being hurt right now as we speak. I mean, how important is it for a parent or for some adult, anybody that's in a child's life, to try to pay close attention to signs and to, you know, just some emotional, especially during COVID, to not yell at them, but be a little bit more compassionate and patient with these children right now? How would you answer that question? What can you recommend to them?
Well, I tell you, we're going through that right now with my family. We do get into more arguments than normal and disagreements. And it's just, I think it's affecting everybody that's in the quarantine. It's been almost a year. The best thing we try to do is we try to stay busy and we do different things. We're involved in a church. Our church is open. I go to the beach and I do different things out there. Just try to stay busy, because if you don't, then, you know, there's a lot of temptation to do bad things. Mm-hmm. And it all comes from the mindset, and Satan wants to put all these crazy thoughts and, you know, start drinking and whatever drugs. But I just say, you have to focus, and you have to remember this is not nobody's fault. You got to find a positive way to deal with this. And, you know, watching TV, that helps. Watching the right type of TV, reading the Word of God, being around, you know, good faith, good people, which is hard to find in this world. And just being, you know, I look up to my pastors and my mentors, my best friends. But I understand, yeah, right now there's a lot of kids being killed. And I just did I talked to the lawyer of Gabriel Fernandez. He was the most abused kid in the history of our country. And this was here in San Bernardino. Mm-hmm. So when I think about Gabriel Fernandez, I just think about, man, he didn't have a chance. And, you know, he got killed. He got killed by a father from child abuse. Mm-hmm. Stepfather, there you go.
So when we, you know, an interesting thing that you said is, like, you know, right now we have to keep active. We have to keep moving. We have to just, I guess, creatively find a way to have fun. The thing where you say it's not our fault, because I think some people, we all can agree, sometimes we find ourselves snapping. Sometimes we find ourselves just wanting to, like, well, you know, we run a business. So it's like that whenever the government changed the rules and policies, we got to change. It's like it's so uncertain. It's like, what do you say to the people right now that, Not to blame yourself for this circumstance, because people are blaming themselves for not being able to do what they used to doing. What would you say to them?
It's hard, and I'll tell you, I blame our leaders. I blame our leaders, our governors, because they basically, the power is in their hand, and I hate to say, some of them are playing God. Some of them are got too much power, and this is not me. This is millions of other California people that are sick and tired. And I know this thing is real. I've also had 13 friends that got COVID. I got some incredible testimonies, and just, it's incredible. I mean, this thing it's real, but it's not a death sentence. And this is just from my experience. Everybody has different experiences. One of my friends, him and his wife, got cancer. She's getting chemotherapy while she got COVID, and she made it. So that's just a miracle right there in itself. And I know it's going to get better. It's just we don't have the power, because we don't. The top guys and the leaders were basically at their mercy. And we just got to pray that God exposes the truth, and that we have somebody to fight for us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you mentioned, you know, I did an interview a while ago, and someone had said, they said, man, listen to you, Bam, it seems like, would you agree that we then became so disconnected from a higher power, from God, that we find ourselves struggling based upon human human power. Everybody, like you said, everybody want to be God. Everybody want to be in charge. And at the end of the day, there's only one being that controls. It created me and you, and that's our God. I mean, without getting religious, I mean, do you think that that is a major occurrence that we're not connected to a higher spirit, to God?
I really know it is. It's a fact. Whether if you're religious or not, our country was brought up by godly leaders. And you know what? And I hate it when people are trying to say, oh, they were bad people, oh, they were slave owners. Or they, you know what? Every group has bad people. America is America. You know, they've done some bad stuff, but that was 300 years ago. We have to learn to just forgive, and if we don't, you know, we got to learn to you know, just accept each other and not fight. You know what I mean? Come on, we're the human race. We're not robots. And I have a lot of brothers that are black, and I grew up in South Central. I grew up in Compton, and it's just it makes me sad because I don't have not one racial bone. Towards racism. I don't understand how all this stuff came about. It sucks. I'll be honest. And I just think there's too much negative news out there. I try not to watch the news. I try to watch good programs, you know, just clean programs. I'm a father and I got a disabled daughter. So, you know, I have to think about those things. Without some form of higher power, then, you know, you allow the human to start just thinking with the evilness or this and that. You know what's right and wrong.
Right.
But I just think you don't even have to be so religious. Just have some morals. Just have
You
know, think about our parents. I don't know. You know, our parents were, my parents were not the best example, but my foster parents were, you know.
Right. You know, and when we think about that, you know, think about the spirit, we think about God, you know, to be a fighter, you got to have mind, body, and spirit. And that's what a warrior is, one that has that mind, that body, that spirit. What was it like for you as a fighter training to become a world? I mean, you were in MMA when it first started, when it was like, just kill them, you know, this. Oh, I mean, what was that like, man? I mean, you had to be courageous to step in it. And Valley Tito, come on. Tell us about that experience.
You know, I got very lucky, I would say. They were looking, I was training at LA Boxing, which is the most famous boxing gym in the world, in downtown LA on Washington and Figueroa. And all the champion fighters were training there. Leila Ali, Muhammad Ali's daughter, she trained there. Al Stanky trained there, who was Muhammad Ali's personal boxing trainer. Sugar Shane Mosley was training there.
Oh, okay.
A lot of fighters, and I was a kickboxing specialist, Muay Thai. They offered me a fight. They were looking for a big Mexican, big Hispanic guy. I was the first, like, bodybuilder turned MMA fighter.
Okay,
so that was my big break and said, hey, we need a fighter, and of course, jiu-jitsu, I was not that good at it. So I got the opportunity to fight in Brazil. I never had any fights in MMA, but I fought Francisco Bueno, who had 200 fights, and I only had one MMA fight. It was bare knuckles, it was no rules, and it's called Vale Tudo in Portuguese, which means anything goes. Okay. So headbutting was allowed. Toe stomping was allowed. All those things were allowed except for kicking to the groin. So I got to fight for WBC number 11 and number 13. And I fought for two world titles. And the second fight was Stefanos Milichensko. He was an Italian fighter. He did a lot of movies with Van Damme. So he was really famous. And it was bare knuckles, no rules. So I had a total, honestly, of only 7 fights. Okay. I was in it for a short period, but I fought for 2 world titles. And I fought for the guys who created the UFC, which was Federico Lapanda and Art Davey. They're the guys that invented the UFC with Hoist Gracie.
Okay.
Without them, there would have never been a UFC. Like I said, I fought in Jamaica, Montego Bay. I fought in Brazil, Recife. Fought in Panama. Fought in Mexico. Fought in here in the United States in cage combat. And it was just, I trained with the best schools back then, Beverly Hills Jiu-Jitsu and Beverly Hills, with all the Russian guys. I trained at the LA Fight Club. I trained at the Muay Thai Academy with Saxon and Coban. Those guys were the best Muay Thai guys in the world. Muay Thai was my specialty.
Okay.
I trained with a lot of great fighters for a short period of time because, you know, it was a lot of money. But it's kind of cool, you know, that I got to fight for world titles. So that was fun.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. But, I mean, to maintain that sort of warrior's mindset in the midst of anything that's new is like, that's like on a uncertain world because they trying to figure out how to make it work, how to get money, how to get the rules. I mean, what was that like to stay focused and to come out on this side to be still sane, to still be a dad, a husband, you know, and thriving? How did you get through that? Because we talk about uncertainty today. What was that world of uncertainty like back then?
You know, during that time, I was just married for a short time before I started fighting. So it gave me focus, you know, and I have a daughter. She's 25. I don't have a good relationship with her. But during that time, I gave 110% because I remember my instructor said, if you want to be the best in the world, which I was ranked by the best in the world by Grappler Magazine, Black Belt Magazine. I actually have pictures and footage. And I was ranked in the top 100 fighters as the most 100 most dangerous fighters in the world.
Whoa, okay.
And that's when Tank Abbott was there, Frank Shamrock, Chuck Liddell, Gokor, the Russian MMA.
Yeah, I was thinking about him, man, with the leg locks, right? The ankle locks,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the leg locks, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, Oleg Tataro.
Yes.
He was actually the first Russian champion, even before all these other Russian guys came along.
Because he did a bunch of movies too, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
He was a hitman in a big movie. I forgot. I did another movie with him with my German friend. Oh, man, I can't remember. I'm brain dead. All these martial artists were there. Oh, Debo was in it.
Yeah. Okay. Debo, yeah. From Friday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Man.
Me and Debo did a couple of movies, and he was a man of faith. And, it's kind of cool when I did a movie called School Dance with Nick Cannon.
Okay.
And he said, Mariano Big Dog, you're the Mexican Debo. You're going to beat up Kevin Hart. And I didn't know I was going to beat up Kevin Hart.
Oh, you was with Kevin Hart? You did a movie with Kevin Hart?
Oh, I beat up Kevin Hart in a movie called School Dance.
Okay.
And Linnell, she's a famous black comedian. Kevin Hart was in it. He had a looked like Eazy-E with the Jerry curl. What's his name? The director was Nick Cannon.
Okay.
Nick Cannon directed it, and George Lopez was in it. Wilmer Valderrama was in it, and I played Junior. And I also have a big scene with Cat Williams.
Well, yeah, okay.
Domino, and I break this table, and Cat Williams, me and him have a cool scene, and he owes me money. And he's in that scene where he's in prison. Yeah, Cat Williams and Kevin Hart, I mean, isn't that like the best experience ever?
Yeah. I mean, think about that. As you're talking about that, when I think about, you know, we live in a world of immediate gratification. The children want to get famous on YouTube. They want to get famous like right away. They want it right now. And you didn't have experience. It took a long time. How did you make that conversion from a fighter into a Hollywood movie star? I mean, what did you do to prepare yourself to make that transition?
You know, I here's what I learned from other big actors. When I met Vin Diesel, and I talked to some other big actors, and they said, Mariano, just practice, have fun with it. That's what they said, have fun with it. I didn't want to be an actor, to be honest with you. That was not my goal. I wanted to be a fighter my whole life. I didn't want to be an actor. I loved bodybuilding. That was my other love. And then I accidentally became, a typecast fighter, kind of like Danny Trejo, like Machete. So now I have a brand. My brand is Big Dog. I'm known as the Mexican Devo. I'm known as the Mexican bodybuilder turned MMA fighter, world champion strict curl with C.T. Fletcher. Me and C.T. Fletcher have the world record in the curl. I used to do a lot of bodybuilding shows. I used to work out at Venice. So I got so many titles, but back then there was no social media. Right. It's you always got to reinvent yourself. That's what I've been learning in this business. And if you're a good actor and you have agents and managers working for you, you don't complain, you're always going to get work.
Okay. And that, I think that's the key thing. You're having a good team, and you said that, and not really complaining, just accepting that they have your best. I'm not saying surrender to no one, but expecting that they have your best interests at heart, correct? Would you say that that's important?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is important.
Okay. So when we look at now, what sort of things do you have like in store? I think Tim said you've been doing, is it CSI, some TV work as well?
Yeah, I just did it was a specialty feature background on NCIS LA.
Okay.
With the girl, I forgot the girl, she's the director. She's also an actress on the show. And then the other Hispanic guy, Michael, that works with LL Cool J. I didn't have any scene with LL Cool J, but he was there, and that was cool. But we did a lot of COVID testing, so that was crazy. Wow. I had to do three COVID tests for 2 days of work. And then I got my documentary that Tim is helping me out with, A Little Boy to Raging Bull. That's about my life.
Okay.
And then I got a documentary about a Korean War veteran, Jesus Rodriguez. It's not out yet, but it's done. I did a comedy, short comedy, about the quarantine film festival. So I've done about six projects. Oh, my Redneck Neighbor, which Tim got me. It's a comedy with Eric Roberts, Byleen, and myself. And then it's a comedy. It's really funny. I play a redneck. It's called My Redneck Neighbor. During this time, I was just blessed that I had six jobs. They weren't big jobs, but at least I'm working, you know?
Right, right. And you got paid. So, I mean, if you can make a little money, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, even if it's 300 bucks a day, 400, I'm grateful because I know a lot of actors didn't make any money. They didn't work.
Right.
You know, I'm not making millions, but I'm making enough where I could say I'm a working actor. You know what I mean? But I always like to help out my fellow actors, and I always like to encourage them because I'm not a selfish person at all. So I'm very blessed to be able to be here with you, being your podcast. You know, I know you have a lot of Billy Blanks. I did a movie with him too.
Okay.
And Billy Blanks, you know, he gave me a shout out, and that guy created Ty Bo.
Yes. I mean, and what's so beautiful, I think, you know, as we're closing out here, for people right now, I mean, just anybody right now, anybody that's struggling, I mean, people got dreams, people got hopes, but some people think it's over. It's like they just giving up. I mean, I know the feeling of just being in bed and just wanting to pull the covers over your head, not wanting to get out the bed, not wanting to even move because where are you going? From back to your room, around your kids. What do we say to people like that? What could you say to them right now to just have that glimmer of hope and knowing that God will make a way? What can you say to people right now?
Very simple. This is very simple. Always have a plan of what you're going to do tomorrow. So I'm going to wake up in the morning. I'm going to pretend it's a normal day. I'm going to go and do something. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to go to the park. I'm going to play basketball. I'm going to go and write a documentary. I'm going to go and take some pictures of some ducks or whatever you're going to do. Always have a plan, like you got something to do the next day. Right. That's the key. When you start thinking positive and say, what are you going to do? Don't treat it like a COVID day. Treat it like a normal day.
And
we wake up and we see the weather. It's like, oh, it's going to be raining. Who cares about the weather? We can't do nothing, right? You do got to care about the weather, because you want to go outside and enjoy the sun. Go to the beach if you can. Be safe. And now that we have, you know, people can get these shots, there's hope. There's hope. And you know what? It's going to get better. And we just pray that our leaders can just be smart and open things safely. We don't want nobody to die, but just keep on, have a plan. What are you going to do tonight? What are you going to do tomorrow? Stay busy and don't just watch TV. Exercise a little bit. Play some basketball. Go out there. And if you talk to a friend or two safely, go and do that. Have lunch at the taco truck with somebody. Talk to your friend across the street. Always have something to do, and then you won't think about it as much. It helps. It helps to think about the depression of the quarantine.
And Mario, you just brought up one thing, and we are martial artists. We're fighters. We've been in the world. What can we say to those who believe that they're the toughest, they're the baddest, they choose to manipulate people and get over and making people believe that they got the answers? How can we help people? Because, you know, we wish that men would hold the doors for women like we used to. We wish that men would show women respect like they used to. What do we say right now to, you know, how do we deal with those type of energies? Because they're there. We got 80% more of that today than any other time in history. How do we deal with that sort of negative energy right now?
During the death in regards to what?
But just in general, like, you know, you can go out, but you encounter some negativity. You encounter somebody's trying to disrespect you, or somebody just so mad and so frustrated. And when we think of martial arts, you got so many people claim to be the baddest and toughest guy on the planet saying, I can destroy you, hurt some, this. How do we just keep on functioning without trying to prove that we're better than, and just be who God wants us to be?
You know what? Just look at them. And to me, I say, you know what, brother? I want to beat your ass. You know what? God bless you. Have a good day. And just look at them and say, you know what? You're not going to ruin my day. I'm not making COVID an excuse to be angry at you. I'm not going to allow COVID to change my personality. Right, you know what I mean? Right. Because once this COVID is over, people are not looking at each other. They don't want to hug each other, and we gotta. It's gonna become normal pretty soon, and that's why, you know, I love it when I can go to church and we can hug still at church, and we can still feel a little normal. Once, you know, it's like people are just too angry, and they don't even look at you, and because, like, well, what do I have to look at you for? I got a mask on, you know.
Right.
Just have a purpose and a plan every day. And there's going to be a lot of idiots out there because they're mad, just like we are. Some people don't have jobs. They don't have a home. Some people are homeless. So I always try to help other people. So you guys look me up on Facebook. And if you're around, if you need some money or you need some help, I can help you out with 10, 20 bucks. Then that's all I can do for you. You know, if you need a ride somewhere and it's safe, you know, that's me. That's what I try to do. I try to help out people and put my actions. Put words to my action, you know?
Well, thank you, sir. We look forward to working together in some capacity again.
thank you so much, brother.
Have a great day.
God bless you. What's your podcast again?
It's Warrior Mindset. Willie the Bam Johnson, Warrior Mindset. I'll make sure Tim gets you a copy.
William Mindset. Thank you, brother. You're awesome, man. God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.